There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere. As always, we've got our DFS show today. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going, Bobby. As you can probably tell, my voice sounds different every single podcast we do, I think, recently. I've mentioned it a few times that I've been sick since Christmas Day, and the last 2 days I didn't have a voice. So I'm fortunate enough to have a voice to do this show today. So happy to be here.
Yeah, you've probably been eating too many vegetables, man. I'll tell you what, like, I've actually changed my diet a little bit this year because, you know, I have to do something called the NFL Combine. And so I cut out, like, ice cream and candy, just lots of sugar, basically. I'm not sitting here eating vegetables and stuff like that. But, you know, I really do feel healthier and I'm sleeping better. It's weird. Like, I don't think ice cream is really worth that. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. No, what's funny is like, it's crazy is when you eat crap food, you actually sleep like crap. It's something that I've noticed over the past year. I think as I've gotten older, I noticed those things. So yeah, definitely changing up the diet definitely helps. I actually, when I eat healthy, which I've been recently, I get up at like 5:30 in the morning and I feel good. I don't feel like I need any more sleep.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to hold out for too long. Like if I had to cancel pizza or something, obviously that would be a no-go. I would just, you know, live 5 years shorter, 15 years shorter, if that's what it came down to. Pizza's really important in my life. You know, plus I got like vegetables on my pizza, the artichoke hearts. Don't at me on Twitter. By the way, at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Tagliere NFL. We're going to be talking about DFS here on today's show. FanDuel, DraftKings, as always. And because it's the playoffs, like we did last week, we're just going to go game by game instead of position by position because we only have four games to talk about here. So, Tags, let's start here on Saturday again. And it begins with the Atlanta Falcons at the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think the Falcons are going to win this game. But let's talk about the player. First of all, who do you think is going to win, Tags? And then we'll talk about the players.
I also have the Falcons winning this game. I think it should be a close game, but not one that's really attractive from a DFS standpoint. Because, you know, we're talking about Philadelphia mid-January. Now, granted, I've looked forward to the weather forecast in these games, and in Philadelphia, it's supposed to be actually in the low 50s for this game, so it shouldn't be too affected by the weather. It's just two teams that are meeting together. Their defenses are playing well. The offenses are a little bit sluggish, and I mean, the Falcons on the road, they just want to come away with the win, so I do expect this game to be a low-scoring one. The over-under is just 41 points. It's one of the lowest ones on the slate, so it should be a rather boring game, to be honest with you. But I do expect the Falcons to win.
You know what? You're saying this. I'm sitting here with my cash game lineup, and I've got three players from this game in it. Hey, do you have any guesses who it is? Like, is there anyone you're even considering in this game?
My guesses would be Matt Ryan's definitely a consideration for cash only. I wouldn't play him in tournaments, but Jay Ajayi is cheap enough on DraftKings to consider him. And then Julio Jones. Mohamed Sanu, actually. And you know what? I take it back. This is not a game to target for a tournament standpoint, but there's a lot of cash game plays in here. Now that we're actually going through the game, there are some really good value plays, especially on DraftKings.
Yeah, there's definitely some cheap plays. Like, if they were the same price as some of the other guys, I would not be using this game so much. But, like, here we are at quarterback, okay? And I know we're going to go game by game, but Tom Brady's been playing like crap since his Achilles started hurting. Drew Brees gets Minnesota. No, thank you. Big Ben gets Jacksonville. No, thank you. Case Keenum, past two games. I don't know what's happened all of a sudden, but he's been horrible. Marcus Mariota's been horrible the whole season. Then you've got Nick Foles and Blake Bortles, who there is no chance I'm using them in cash games. It's Matt Ryan by default, man.
I have Matt Ryan. So my cash game article will be coming out tomorrow morning. And Matt Ryan and Tom Brady are the two cash game quarterbacks I have in there. So I can't really blame you on this one, because the only way that I see the Falcons moving the ball is through the air. Now, granted, the reason I say that it's better for cash games than tournaments, because I don't think Matt Ryan offers you the upside that you would want in a tournament. I just don't think that the Falcons want that to happen. I don't think they need that to happen. If they jump out to a lead, they're going to sit on the ball. If you go back and look at the game against the Rams, that's their ideal game script. They held the ball in that game for 38 minutes while the Rams had just 22 minutes of possession. So I do expect, if the Falcons do jump out, that's a bad thing for fantasy. And if they're behind, it's likely going to be the Eagles taking that ball control approach. I just see it as a very, very, you know, low play game. I just think both teams are looking to grind it out. So Matt Ryan, it's nice, because the Eagles, the weakest part of their team is their secondary. They really don't have a shutdown cornerback to take away Julio Jones. Their slot cornerback, Patrick Robinson, has struggled as of late. You know, to close out the season, there were weeks 14 and 15 where he really struggled. He allowed Cooper Kupp to have 118 yards and a touchdown. The week after that, he allowed Sterling Shepard to catch 11 balls for 139 yards and a touchdown. So my favorite plays in this game, honestly, is where you get the value. And the value, I think, is Mohamed Sanu, who is going to match up with Patrick Robinson in the slot. And I also like, on the other side, is Nelson Agholor. Agholor hasn't seen the drop-off that Alshon Jeffrey has under Nick Foles. Nick Foles is not a very good quarterback. There's talks that they could pull him if he starts out slow. That's never a good thing, right? But Nelson Agholor, his average depth of target is much lower than Alshon Jeffrey. He kind of takes on that short area. Him and Zach Ertz fill that territory. And the reason I say that about Agholor is, like, last week we attacked Cooper Kupp. On the show, we talked about Kupp. We talked about Brian Poole, about how he's the Falcons slot cornerback. He has been miserable in coverage this year. Quarterbacks now have a 108.8 quarterback rating when targeting him in coverage. So when you see Nelson Agholor, who got 16 targets in the first two games with Nick Foles, he's just 4,800. Like, all you're looking for, all you essentially need for him to hit value on such a short slate, four catches for 50 yards. If he hits that, then you're actually hitting value on the short slate. I think he's capable of much more, especially against Poole in a good matchup. So I do like Agholor.
That's a really good call, man. Yeah, I like Agholor and Mohamed Sanu. You know, I really think that the value in this slate is at running back. And so I'm spending up at wide receiver. But if I was spending down, Sanu would be right there. Agholor is somebody that I considered as well. So I think there are quite a few good options in this game. You know, I talked about Matt Ryan by default being my cash game quarterback. I'm with you. I would not use him in GPP. Like, I mean, obviously you're going to get some exposure, but like what? 5% instead of, you know, what, 40-50% cash game exposure. I like Brady too. My second quarterback though for cash games is Case Keenum, but it's Matt Ryan for sure. I'm definitely going with him in cash games. This Philly defense, they're not going to let up anything through the run. If the Falcons want to keep going, it's going to be all up to Matt Ryan. And Julio Jones at 8,800. I mean, I understand he's not typically a cash game play, but come playoff time, they got to use him, right? It's Julio Jones or die. He was really good last game. He finished the season really strong. So I'm all about Julio and Matt Ryan this week.
I have no issue with Julio. It's just the issue of paying up for him, because, you know, we're going to go through the other games here, and there's some high-priced talent I want to fit into the lineup. I actually have gone down. So if you want to spend up at wide receiver, I've gone down a little bit from Julio, and I'll explain that as we get to it. It's just, like I said, I'm worried about the upside in this game, where it's like, I don't think the Falcons want to throw a ton. I don't think that, I just think that they want to come away with a win. They'll do whatever it takes to get that win. What do you feel about Jay Ajayi? Now, he's someone, you know, prior to being rested in week 17, he had totaled 15, 12, and 14 carries. He was getting some targets in the passing game. He's only 4,600 on DraftKings. I think that he is cash game viable, even though the Falcons are decent run defense. I mean, they're not the Tennessee Titans against the run or anything like that, but they're a solid run defense. They do allow a lot of receiving to running backs, which is something that Ajayi does chip in with. So I do feel like This is a game where Jay Ajayi should return some value on just 4,600. But do you think there's better options on the slate?
On DraftKings, Jay Ajayi's in my top five. He's a top five that I would consider for cash. FanDuel, that's not the case. He's $6,900. You don't get the full point PPR. I mean, he's got a nice floor on DraftKings, like what, 10 points? That's pretty good, but I'm looking at it 14, 12, 15 carries. It's just not going to cut it for me. Not on FanDuel with some of the other options. You only get the two running backs. You don't get the flex. So Ajayi is not really in consideration for me.
Yeah, the only concern I had with him going into this game is that I don't know how many scoring opportunities he's going to have with Nick Foles under center. Like, how many times are they actually going to be taking snaps from inside the five? So you're essentially relying on a big play out of him in order to, like, crush value. But I think he should get enough carries and receptions to at least hit value if you're looking to for a cheap solution at the running back position.
Now, Tex, let me ask you this, okay? You're not even considering Devonta Freeman or Tevin Coleman, right? Not against this Eagles front seven.
No, I definitely would not. Definitely not in cash games and tournaments. I would have lower exposure than the field's going to, even at a low price, because like they have Tevin Coleman down at 4,400, which is really cheap. And like that's not bad for a tournament because he's the type of player who could take a reception to the house. That can happen. But the Eagles were just really good against running backs. It wasn't even just on the ground running. It was through the air too. They allowed 91 receptions to running backs, which was the 10th most. But the yardage was not there. They allowed the fewest yardage per target to running backs in the season. So it's just not a great matchup from any aspect. And if they do, you know, hit value, it's going to be because of a big play.
Even in GPP, I'm going to have 0% exposure to both these guys. I mean, think about it this way. Tevin Coleman is going to be 4-8% owned. Devonta Freeman is going to be about 6-10% owned. What are the chances that one of those two guys is actually a top two or three value play at the running back position? I think it's less than their ownership rate. I think it's 1-2% against this Philadelphia defense. So I'm not interested whatsoever, man.
Yeah, and Devonta Freeman's not very good on the road. In terms of touchdowns, it's really odd. Going over the last 2 years, he's scored 16 touchdowns in 15 home games. But on the road, he's scored just 6 touchdowns in 15 16 touchdowns in 15 home games. 6 touchdowns in 15 road games. So it's a big difference. I don't know if it has to do with the play calling and what they do on the goal line, but I see this game as very low scoring. I have the Falcons winning 20-17.
20-17. Okay. Yeah, it's probably about what I would guess as well. I think it's going to be a close fought game, but Nick Foles is just such a disaster, man. And that's why I'm definitely using the Atlanta Falcons defense. I mean, you can get away with going against Blake Bortles with Pittsburgh. That scares me a little bit because we've seen Blake Bortles play pretty well fairly recently. You know, you can use Jacksonville any week against anybody. I'd use them against the Patriots sometimes. But this Atlanta defense, in terms of efficiency, has been a top three defense this year in the NFL. You know, they've just been playing a lot of plays. They've been turning it on lately. They've got a good young core. And then Nick Foles. That's what it really all comes down to. You're looking for turnovers. Nick Foles gives you the turnover upside. I think the turnover floor, too. So I'm all over these Falcons on defense and in the passing game.
The Falcons, I'm a little, they're too expensive for my taste. I don't think they're a bad play, but I have to go down it. You know, when I'm spending up at certain positions, I have to save on defense. And I think the Eagles, if you're playing on DraftKings, the Eagles at 2,600 are not a bad play at all. They're a home team. Again, the Falcons are not going to like rack up points against them. They're going to play a very safe game. And if they do fall behind for whatever reason, Matt Ryan is not, you know, he's not a guy that's, you know, very safe with the football when it comes to those situations. So it's not ideal to play the Eagles against the Falcons, you know, especially with the experience the Falcons have. But at the same time, at 2,600 for one of the best defenses, they were one of the better scoring defenses while at home too this year. So them being at home, I think, does change a lot. So that's why if you're playing in cash games, I think the Eagles at home are a good cash game play.
You know, plus they're playing at home where it's cold, and the Falcons are a dome team from the south. So that does have an effect there. But you know, these Falcons, I'm looking at it here. Over their past 9 games, they're averaging 3 sacks a game. They've got multiple sacks in every game except for 2. We talked about the Nick Foles turnover upside. Here's the points they've given up lately. 20, 14, 17, 21, 23, 10, 13. It's not like they've been playing chumps either. Los Angeles Rams, Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, Jameis Winston, the Saints again. You talked about this last week, Tags, the Vikings. I mean, they've been playing a tough schedule and they've been getting it done. They stormed into the playoffs on the back of their defense. I understand on DraftKings, I'm not paying up for the Falcons either, but on FanDuel, it's weird how this happens on the sites, right?
Yeah.
On FanDuel, they're the second cheapest.
Wow. That's not bad at all against Nick Foles. Not bad at all. And you mentioned it, you know, Philly, they've had a week to prepare for this game. And in their last two games against the Raiders and Cowboys, who are supposed to have better offenses, they allowed 16 points in those games combined. So, you know, this defense has played better as of late. And I think that, you know, Ronald Darby, you know, getting him back healthy in the second half of the season, having Jalen Mills play better than I think anybody expected to, because he was possibly the worst cornerback in football last year, but he's played pretty well over the second half of the season. So again, I see this game as very low scoring, which is why I have no issue playing the Eagles on DraftKings. And as Bobby mentioned, if the Falcons are the second cheapest on FanDuel, I don't really have an issue with them either.
All right, well, let's move on to the Saturday night game, Tags, and that has us Tennessee at New England. Am I the only person who thinks that this isn't going to be an absolute blowout? Like, I'm not saying the Titans are going to win. I did say they were going to win last week, and I'm really pumped that that one worked out. However, I think that this is going to be a pretty close game here.
I don't see it as being very close. I think the Titans are a team, like, when you watch the first half of that game against the Chiefs, that was the Titans team that we've seen most of the year. Over the second half, there was a few bounces that went his way with Marcus Mariota. You know, that whole interception or tip ball that bounced back to Mariota, that was a game changer. It literally shifted the entire momentum. The gameplay, the play calling on the Chiefs side of the ball was atrocious. Their defense all of a sudden just couldn't stop anything. And it was just really weird. I mean, the Titans got the run game going in the second half. There were so many things wrong about that game. You know, the way that it happened in the first half, that was the way the game was kind of slated to go. This week with the Patriots coming off of, they basically had 2 weeks of a bye because week 17 meant nothing to them. So, you know, preparing for this game, Bill Belichick is the best coach I've ever seen. Like, he's the one that makes the difference, right? Tom Brady has struggled
in any sport.
Yes. Tom Brady has struggled as of late, but you know, I don't know if he's hit that wall. And that's the thing, is I know that there's people that are out there that are totally against that, saying that it's not even possible that Brady does it. Guys, he's over 40 years old. Father Time catches up with everyone at some point. Am I saying that's what happened with Tom Brady? I don't know. But what I do know is that the Titans secondary is bad enough where Tom Brady should have a good game, even if he is on the downturn of his career, which is likely. We saw Alex Smith last week without Travis Kelce for over two quarters. He completed, if you were to take the drops that Tyreek Hill had and the others had and put those into completions, Alex Smith completed 85% of his passes against this defense last week. You saw him carving them up. We have Brady with a healthy Rob Gronkowski. He's got a healthy Brandon Cooks. Chris Hogan's coming back this week. Danny Amendola, James White, Rex Burkhead's back for this game. He has every possible weapon, and the only thing that the Titans defense does well is stop the run. And that's why I think the Chiefs kind of overplayed it in a way, knowing, I think they knew that the Titans had a good run defense, but they still needed to eat the clock, and that's where they failed. I do think that the Patriots are smarter than that. They will eat some of that clock, but the damage will be done through the air, and that's why Tom Brady, he's going to have a very, very high ownership rate. But I think you're making a big mistake if you pass on him. I just feel like he's worth it this week, because he not only comes with safety, but he comes with upside too. Where I think Matt Ryan comes with a little bit of safety, maybe not as safe as Brady. I know he's cheaper, but he doesn't come with that lineup winning upside that Tom Brady does.
You say that the Chiefs should have eaten the clock. Like, I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure you were watching the game. Maybe don't remember this part, but they came out, they ran the ball three times. They just didn't get a first down. Like, they ran the ball quite a bit, and then the Titans started to come back, so they had to start passing the ball, but it just wasn't effective. And I don't think it's going to be effective here for the Patriots to run against the Titans either. The Titans have also been getting after the quarterback. Now, the Patriots have a pretty good offensive line, mind you, but Tom Brady, I mean, you look at what he's been doing, Tag, since mid-November. 227 yards. He went 18 for 28 that game, 21 for 30, 258 yards, zero touchdowns, 24 for 43 against the Dolphins, 233 in a touchdown, two interceptions, 298, 224, 190. I mean, it has been ugly. He has not played well in over a month and a half, man. I'm not saying that his career is over. I think Tom Brady's going to be great next year, but he's not right now because he's playing through an injury. I'm not spending $8,800 on him.
I think the injury is being overstated a little bit. I think his play has just been...
What is it then?
Well, that's the thing. I think he's slowly trending down. I think it's going to happen with any player. It happened with Peyton Manning. Nobody wanted to admit it when Peyton was going through it, but it happened. It happens with everybody. It doesn't make Tom Brady not one of the greatest of all time. And by the way, I need to go back to this whole Kansas City conversation about running the ball. Kareem Hunt, in a game that they led the entire time, Kareem Hunt had 11 carries for 42 yards. 11 carries. So they didn't run the ball consistently. They didn't even try to run the ball consistently. In the second half, I want to say he ran the ball like 3 or 4 times. That's what I'm saying. It's just like they didn't stick to the run. The Patriots aren't going to make that mistake. I don't think they need to worry about it because this is a team that's going to keep their foot on the throttle. They need to have some momentum because this offense has struggled a little bit. I think they want them to get back on track. In this Tennessee team, there have only been, here's a fun fact. There have only been, I think it's 5 quarterbacks to score less than 15 fantasy points against the Titans this year. Here's their names: DeShone Kizer, Jacoby Brissett, Blake Bortles, Jay Cutler, and Blaine Gabbert. That's it.
Tom Brady does not fit into that category.
No.
Not even close,
no.
Man.
No. And that's why I'm saying he's going to score points. He's going to throw for at least 250 yards. He's going to go throw at least 2 touchdowns. And he has 350-yard, 3 touchdown upside. That's why I'm saying Brady is worth it to me, especially, you know, considering they are at home. They're a big favorite. Matt Ryan, I just don't think that they're... That's my concern, is that he doesn't present nearly enough upside. Matt Ryan, by the way, has not scored more than 18 fantasy points this year.
Yeah, that's true. Plus, he's missing practice. We don't really know what's going on right now. They say it's a personal issue. He had some appointment. I have no idea what this could be, but you might want to monitor that. I don't imagine he's going to miss the game, but I mean, if there's something going on here, he's not a cash game play. I would go with Case Keenum over Brady, but I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just think Chris Hogan, sure, he's coming back, but he's going to be playing hurt. I mean, there's a reason he hasn't been playing for all this time. Rob Gronkowski had 0 targets last game. I don't know if there's something going on with him. I don't think that Tom Brady's safe right now. I mean, 2 of his past 5 games, he had less than 12 fantasy points. His ceiling in those 5 games, 16 fantasy points. So I'm just not buying it for $9,000, dude.
I'm just saying, don't bet against Brady in the playoffs, man. Don't do it. You're going to lose.
Okay.
You'll lose. Yeah. I want you to make money, Bobby. So play Tom Brady. Do it.
You know, I did do really well last week, Tags. I'm hoping to do really well again. I'm building my lineup over on DraftKings right before this show, and it's looking beautiful. I think it's going to go well again. We'll see. I'm going to do it without Tom Brady. I don't know what your plan is, but my lineup looks great. I'm going back-to-back weeks here. And I hope you guys join me in playing on DraftKings.com. The best part about playing fantasy football is drafting your teams. It's a lot of fun. And we've got a promo code for you. Use Fantasy Pros as the promo code at DraftKings.com to play for free with your first deposit for your share of hundreds of thousands of dollars in total prizes this Saturday. Hurry, Saturday's going to be here before you know it, so get to DraftKings.com now. That's code Fantasy Pros, all one word, only at DraftKings.com. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Oh, Tags, would you even use Marcus Mariota in GPP?
I mean, if you're playing, like, if you're putting together, like, a lot of different tournament lineups, like, let's say you put together 20 lineups, I might throw him in a few of them. You know, there's not too many quarterbacks left in the playoffs who have that rushing ability, and Marcus Mariota is one of them. He's been running a lot more recently, and I think it comes down to he doesn't have confidence in his arm right now, so he's taking off running, and that's fine, because fantasy, we don't really care how they get their points as long as they get them. Don't expect him to throw a touchdown pass to himself again, because I think he scored, like, 12 of his 25 fantasy points in that one play. So it would have been a bust
that
last week.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it would have been a bust last week if it wasn't for that. So I wouldn't count on that. But if you are playing, like I said, you know, 20 different tournament lineups, I might have myself like 10% exposure to him or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that very well could have been an interception if you watched that play.
Yep.
But here's the thing. The Patriots are one of the worst teams in the NFL against defending the pass. It's going to be a negative game script for Marcus Mariota. So I think there's a decent chance he gets to 20 plus points, which, you know, he could return 3x value. That could be the top quarterback in the slate. So I'll probably be looking at 5 to 10% GPP exposure. And I think that's probably going to be higher than the public consensus. So yeah, I think I will be using Mariota quite a bit in GPP. Now over at running back, I'm using Derrick Henry in this game. I mean, the Titans were down big time and they did not abandon the run. They kept giving it to Derrick Henry. I think he's game script proof here. We've seen what he can do as a workhorse and it is beautiful. And the Patriots, they're among the worst teams in the league at defending the run, man.
They are, but I'm not playing with fire twice. And, you know, if you were to go ask Derrick Henry owners how they felt about him at halftime of last week, they would have been like, man, I didn't see this happening. I didn't see this game going this way. I didn't think it would be this much of a blowout. And yes, they were able to climb back into it, and he started racking up a lot of points after Mariota had that whole throw it to yourself touchdown thing, because it kind of put them back in the map where it was a 2-score game at that point, and it allowed them to reestablish the run. My issue here is, again, I'm not playing with fire twice. They're on the road. They're a 2-touchdown underdog in this game. He doesn't do anything in the passing game. He's horrible in pass protection. Like, that's been a big concern of theirs. That's why DeMarco Murray has stayed on the field for them. And we saw some of those flaws, you know, last week against the Chiefs. So the Patriots, are they a good run defense? No. This all comes down to game script for me. And I do think that Derrick Henry belongs in tournament lineups. I'm not going to say that you shouldn't have him in tournament lineups, but in cash, don't do that. Like, when you're playing cash lineups, what you should do is you aim for running backs who are, ideally, this is what you want. You want a running back who's guaranteed high volume. You want a running back who's at home. You want a running back who is a big favorite. He has literally two of those three things going against him. He's not very involved in the passing game. That's my concern. Now, Henry is capable of that big play. We've seen it time and time again. I've talked about that. I'm a Derrick Henry fan, but at the same time, this game has negative game script written all over it. So with Mariota dropping back to pass, I don't know if they're going to bring other running backs into the situation where it's like they're going to ask them to block, because Henry's just not doing his part there. But again, I do think he's in play for tournaments.
I mean, he's been the starter for 2 weeks now. 29 touches, 25 touches. You get him for stupid cheap. I'm not saying he's going to outscore Le'Veon Bell. I'm saying he's going to outvalue Le'Veon Bell. And because of that, I'll be able to spend up a ton at wide receiver. I'll be able to get myself a nice tight end as well. And I don't know what you're going to do, Tags. Like, are you planning on spending down at wide receiver? The options just are not very good. So, and plus, I mean, the running back options, you could go with Leonard Fournette, but Le'Veon Bell against Jacksonville, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram against the best defense in the NFC, I'm not seeing it at their price point. So, I mean, what are you doing here? Are you going with Leonard Fournette instead?
I am paying down a lot at wide receiver. Like, I have Nelson Agholor. He's like one of my core plays. I think Chris Hogan is someone that I'm going to have on my radar. I think Eric Decker is in play again. Those might be my three wide receivers in cash, to be honest with you, because I want to pay up. I do want Le'Veon Bell. I do want Tom Brady. I do want Rob Gronkowski. So, again, I mean, this game, like, sticking with this game, again, Derrick Henry, negative game script. So we go to the other side and we have, do we want to play Deion Lewis? That's the question, right? Because Deion Lewis has been setting the world on fire. But would it shock you if the Patriots came out and did a three-way, you know, three-headed monster with Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, and James White? It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yes. Yes.
Going with...
I mean, he's got 30 and 29 touches in the past two games. Like, they're all of a sudden going to go to, like, 15?
Burkhead was out, though. That's why. And that's the thing, is, like, yeah. James White was out for week 17. He was hurt in week 16. So there were factors with Deion Lewis that led to him getting all those touches. Now, he was able to handle them, and he played well with them. But the question is, do they want to continue to do that? I don't think so. This Tennessee defense is legit. You know, during the regular season, they allowed just 3.4 yards per carry. They've only allowed 4 rushing touchdowns on the year. That's really good. They're one of the better run defenses in football. They've been for the last 3 years. So there's really no reason to necessarily attack this team. And if you do want to attack it, who do you play? Do you play Deion Lewis? I don't think the yardage is going to be there. He hasn't been involved too much in the passing game when Burkhead and James White are active. Burkhead's the one who gets the goal line carries. James White gets a lot of the passing down work. So does Burkhead. So I don't really like any of these guys for cash. Now, in tournaments, I think you can play any of them, because that's the thing. Like, James White, he's going to be like 1% owned. But would it shock you, like it did in the Super Bowl last year, where James White goes out, scores a couple touchdowns, goes for over 100 yards, like was a monster in that game? It wouldn't shock me at all. That's why I'm saying in cash, I'm avoiding these running backs, even though everything adds up to their one of them is going to have some value.
There's at least a 5% chance, I'd even say 10% chance, that James White is a top value this week. So yeah, for GPP, I'm all over him. He's obviously not safe. Rex Burkhead, same kind of thing. Probably even better chance than that. So I like him even more in GPP. Now, Deion Lewis, I mean, I think he's getting at least 20 touches. It's been working. Why would the Patriots change anything? I know Bill Belichick's a, you know, an evil genius or whatever, but I think Lewis is getting at least 20 touches. The problem is the Titans, so I'm not using him in cash games. And at his price, I'm probably not going to get much exposure in GPP, because I just can't see him having that big game against the Titans. Because they're not going to use him in the passing game as much, right?
Well, that's the thing, is if he was guaranteed 20 touches, I'd play him. I don't think he is. That's my issue there. That's the reason I'm not playing him.
Okay.
I don't think he is. I would.
You talked about Chris Hogan. Like, you're playing him in a cash game? That scares me to death, man. I remember last week I was talking about using Mercedes Lewis at tight end, and I'm so glad you talked me out of it because it wasn't a good play. So I didn't get any exposure to Lewis last week. Please, Tags, don't use Hogan in a cash game, man.
I mean, I understand the concern. I really do. And there's definite concern there. But when I'm paying up at a lot of places, I have to take some risks in some places. And Chris Hogan, so he got in some limited practices during week 17, which is like a step in the right direction. That's basically what I wanted to see like that. And now he's had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. They've already said that he's going to play. This is a wide receiver that I don't think anybody realizes that even though he missed 7 full games, he is still tied for the lead among the wide receivers in the Patriots with red zone targets. He had 12 red zone targets.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, after playing 8 games, he was on pace for 68 receptions, 878 yards, and 10 touchdowns. He had 12 red zone targets again through 8 games. That's massive, right? So when they get in the red zone, again, you're going to have Adoree Jackson. So let's go to the wide receivers here since we're talking about them. Adoree Jackson is going to match up with Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has traditionally feasted on cornerbacks that are slower. Adoree Jackson is every bit the athlete that Brandon Cooks is. He might even be more of an athlete than Brandon Cooks. So if Brandon Cooks can't beat him deep, Brandon Cooks isn't the possession receiver. He's not that guy. So when you look at that, okay, we love Gronk. We know Gronk's a great play. But you look at this wide receiver core, do you expect Danny Amendola to take those targets? He hasn't really been that guy all year. You know, they haven't favored him in the passing game. Chris Hogan, when on the field, when healthy, has been the go-to guy. He's been like the Julian Edelman for Tom Brady. And that's why I do like Hogan, as long as he's practicing in full. I mean, if we hear that he's going to be limited during the game, obviously I need to change my course. But as of right now, I'm expecting him to play the majority of the snaps. And if he's getting the majority of snaps against this Tennessee secondary, there's really no reason for me to... LaShawn Sims, that's who he's going to match up with in coverage. And you're probably like, who? That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, he could have a huge game. He could put up 20, 25 PPR points, right? I wouldn't be surprised at all. With that said, he was supposed to be healthy when he went up against the Dolphins. 5 targets, 1 reception, 1 yard. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a chance he re-injures his shoulder, right? This is a cash game we're talking about, man.
There's risk for sure.
I can't do it. There's other options. Yeah, and I understand the risk about Brandon Cooks, but, you know, I still like him this week. I know that he's been more of a boom or bust player, but there's not enough top options at wide receiver that I'm just going to go with Brandon Cooks, man. I mean, 11 targets, 5, 7, 7. He's getting enough work. You know, he's had a bunch of good games this season. I know it's not the best matchup on the field, but you like Brady. I don't think Brady has a huge game unless Brandon Cooks has at least a decent game.
I think that it could go. I think that Brady and Gronk stack is going to be like the moneymaker. I think that's the one that you can't avoid. That's the one, like anybody else, I could probably be talked out of. Like you could probably say, well, Mike, do you think you're overpaying for Le'Veon Bell? Nah. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's probably another one of those players I must have. But anybody else, I think the case can be made to where you can go away from anybody else. But Gronk, you have the best tight end in football going against one of the worst defenses against tight ends. We saw, you know, Travis Kelce last week threw less than 2 quarters of play, 4 catches, 67 yards and a touchdown. And some people are going to overthink this. Some people are going to say, well, the Titans know Gronk is good. They're going to, you know, give all means necessary to stop him. Do we not know that about Travis Kelce and the Chiefs? Do we not know that he's their best weapon? Like, is that a real thing? Like, where people would actually consider that? Brandon Cooks is better than Tyreek Hill, so don't give me that excuse. They literally do not have the personnel to stop Rob Gronkowski. That's what it comes down to. There have been, I think it's 5 tight ends who have secured at least 7 receptions against the Titans. Gronk is going to smash this game. And I know that in week 17, he wasn't even targeted. And I think that's all by design. I don't think he would have been on the field if he wasn't healthy. I think he's healthy. I don't think he was involved in the game plan. I think he was out there just to stay fresh because they were going to have a week off next week. They didn't put him in harm's way. I'm telling you, this is the must play of the slate is Rob Gronkowski. If you want to play Matt Ryan, that's fine, but make sure you pay up for Gronk.
That makes me so nervous, man. 0 targets. I mean, I understand he's the greatest tight end in the history of football, but he's so $8,500. I mean, my guy that I'm going to use is $2,600 cheaper than that. And I'm not saying he's in as good of a situation or that he's as good of a football player, but yeah, $2,600 is a ton, man. Like, if I use Rob Gronkowski, that means I have to go down and spend on a guy who might get like 2 targets.
it's harder to spend up on DraftKings, to be fair. Like FanDuel, the pricing is so loose. Like you basically have to have one, you know, really risky player in your lineup, and then you can kind of stack as you want. DraftKings, it's really tough because like it's 7,100 for Gronk. The next closest tight end is at 5,000. That's Delanie Walker, or no, Zach Ertz is 5,800. I'm sorry. But Delanie Walker is the only other one that I would even consider. But when you're the Patriots and the way that they take away the opposing team's number one option, listening to Bill Belichick talk about the Titans team, he said that Delanie Walker is one of the best tight ends in the game. He's like their number one weapon. He knows that.
He is.
And if he knows that, what do you think he's going to do to stop him? He's probably going to assign a safety to him all game. He might give him another nudge off the line of scrimmage, similar to the way they handled Travis Kelce back in week one. If you remember that, I think Kelce ended that game with like 40 yards. It wasn't much because they gave the resources to stop him. So if they do that to Delanie Walker, that's a real concern. So again, Gronk's the play here. Like he's a player that I legitimately, it was like last week, I knew Kelce was going to be highly owned, but I said, I didn't care. I don't care if he's 80% owned. You play him because he's that good of a play.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I played Travis Kelce as well. I ended up changing my whole lineup to get him in there instead of Mercedes Lewis. And I'm thankful that you talked me into it. I don't know if I can do the same with Gronk, man. Like I like Gronk. I think he's a great play. He's going to be 50% owned. He pretty much has to be. He's a good play. Delanie Walker's a good play too, but because Belichick keys in on number one targets so well, I'm wondering if this is the Corey Davis game. Like I've been holding off on saying that for like 3 or 4 weeks because we said it like 2 or 3 weeks in a row and we were wrong. Corey Davis is an exceptional football player. He's going to have a good career in the NFL. Hasn't happened yet. Might not happen this season. Might not happen until a couple games into next season. It's going to happen though. And this might be the game. I'm all over him in GPP. Cash games, not a chance.
I think Corey Davis is a good play in tournaments. I'm with you there. If you look at like the last, you know, we've talked about this in the show before and the fact that Corey Davis missed preseason. Like he didn't play at all. He missed a lot of training camp. He missed most of the season, you know, with his injuries. So he didn't have time to build any like relationship with Marcus Mariota. And as the season's gone on, you kind of seen that. Like when you watch their games, you could just see they're not on the same page. And still, even last week, there were times where Corey Davis was open and Mariota just missed him. He flat out missed him. But the reason I think he's a good tournament play is because people are going to play Rashard Matthews. They're going to play Eric Decker. I don't think anybody's going to play Corey Davis. I think he's going to be less than 5% owned. And he's a guy that he has seen 18 targets over the last 3 weeks. Meanwhile, Rashard Matthews has only seen 4 targets over the last 2 games. Like, there's a changing of the guard here. I think Rashard Matthews has bigger boom potential because he's the guy that goes deep quite a bit. But Corey Davis is going to match up with Stephon Gilmore in this game. That's who I would assume that the Patriots are going to tie to him. And Gilmore, he's good, but he's had lapses at times. And Corey Davis is that physical monster. I've compared him to Brandon Marshall. I still think, and I'm with you, he is going to break out at some point. I think that next year we're going to be talking about him as a top 30 wide receiver, as long as Marcus Mariota gets his stuff together, because that kind of has to happen.
Yeah.
But Corey Davis, I think, is a very solid tournament play. And Eric Decker, I think, is in play for cash and tournaments, honestly.
It'll be a lot easier for it to happen for Mariota when he doesn't have DeMarco Murray as his running back and when the offensive line is improved again. So I think Mariota will bounce back. I don't think he's ever going to be a star, but he's going to be good enough that, you know, that Corey Davis can have a solid career. I guess we got to touch on defense special teams. You're not playing Tennessee against New England, obviously. But New England against Tennessee, I think, is one of the top three options this week.
I don't have any issue with that. In a game where you're talking about turnovers, Mariota's been, you know, prone to turnovers this entire season. He had more interceptions than he did touchdown passes. So, you know, in a game that they're projected to be down quite a bit, I have no issue with the Patriots defense at all.
All right, Tag, Sunday afternoon game, Jacksonville against Pittsburgh. Is this going to be as ugly as that Jacksonville-Buffalo game?
I certainly hope not. That was.
I mean, the last time they played, Big Ben threw 5 picks.
Yep. I actually, if you check out the primer, it came out today, and it's the last one of the year, so thank you, my fingers. But Ben Roethlisberger, if you go through all the way back to week 9 of 2015, I went through every single home game he's played since then. He has not thrown less than 2 touchdowns in any of them outside of that Jacksonville game. He also didn't score fewer than 17 fantasy points outside of that one game against Jacksonville.
Oh, wow.
That like if you look at the chart I put in the primer, it's kind of eye-opening and you're like, wow. like the Jacksonville Jaguars are that good. And Jalen Ramsey, it's funny because Roethlisberger is like, yeah, I can't wait to have another shot at this defense. And Jalen Ramsey's like, I'm sure he does want another shot at us. I mean, would we intercept him 5 times last game? I'm pretty sure he was talking about retiring after that game. So I'd want another shot at us too. The thing is, like with this game, Ben Roethlisberger at home, you never want to dismiss that because he's really good there. But at the same time, he has an Antonio Brown that's probably less than 100%. I know that they're feeding you all the stuff saying that Antonio Brown's fine, he's going to play this and that. There's a reason he was out of practice for 3 weeks, guys. Like it was a pretty serious injury that required him to go to the hospital. I don't know if he's 100%. And even if he is, you know, let's say he's 80%. Going against Jalen Ramsey and AJ Boye is no easy task. It's really not. He saw 19 targets the last time that these teams played, and that's why he posted the numbers he did. It's not going to happen again. I'm not playing Antonio Brown in cash. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that are saying that you should. I'm not one of them. I don't want to play Ben Roethlisberger. I don't want to play anybody from this game in cash outside of the running backs. Like, that's just how I feel about it. Roethlisberger, again, this Jacksonville defense is just too damn good. Here's the stat I have. And if you're thinking about Roethlisberger, here's my point. The Jaguars have allowed just 2 quarterbacks all season to score more than 17 fantasy points against them. Those 2 quarterbacks were Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo, who both scored at least 5 points with their legs. If you take away the points that they scored with their legs, they did not top 17 fantasy points. So by throwing the football, Ben Roethlisberger is not going to score more than 17 fantasy points against the Jaguars. And even if they do get out into the lead, they are not going to continue to throw it on the Jags defense. It's not going to happen. Le'Veon Bell is going to be a very, very, very busy man in this game. And that's why he's kind of like a must play in cash. And such a short slate, take the guaranteed points.
Marcell Dareus is going to eat him alive. I know you said Le'Veon Bell is a lock. There's no way I am playing a running back in cash games against the Jags, especially when the running back is so expensive, man. This run defense is amazing. Like, it's not as good as the secondary. It's right up there, though. It is really close. The entire defense is amazing. But here's what I got to say about Big Ben. I'm actually going to get some exposure. You look back to the game against the Ravens. Ravens are trying to make the playoffs, right? It's an absolute must-win for them.
No Jimmy Smith.
Big Ben put up 506 yards.
No Jimmy Smith is a big deal. Like, that defense,
the rest of their secondary is very good, though, man.
Honestly, that defense went to crap once Jimmy Smith went down. Like, that's when that defense looked really bad.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to get 506 yards against the Jags, but Big Ben has been getting it done lately, man. Every single game in the second half, 19 points, 29 points, 32, 19, 29, 19, 17. He's killing it, man. He is the hottest quarterback in football right now.
Well, LeSean, I mean, I don't know if I could disagree with you there, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of circumstances that go into that. And like, thinking about it from Mike Tomlin's point of view and like logical coaching approaching this is like, if you're the head coach of the team, how are you attacking? Are you like, oh, this is Ben Roethlisberger's revenge game? No, screw that. This is get to the AFC championship against Tom Brady. That's exactly what this game is. And it's like, what is the best chance we have to do that? Throwing against Jalen Ramsey and AJ Boye in this crazy pass rush, or running with Le'Veon Bell, using Le'Veon Bell in the screen game as much as possible. And you mentioned it, Marcell Dareus, ever since they got him, they have been good. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Le'Veon Bell's going to go for 150 yards in the ground. I'm expecting, well, let's call it 80 yards on the ground. I think that's a fair expectation for Le'Veon Bell. But my point is that I'd almost bet money that Le'Veon Bell is going to score at least 15 PPR points through the air in this game. And that's going to be where you're going to get your value. The Jags over the last 3 games have allowed 223 yards to running backs, including 66 to Derrick Henry a couple weeks ago. They don't have, that's the thing, is like with Antonio Brown, I know it was, but Kyle Juszczyk, it was the week after the week before that, it was Kyle Juszczyk. Last week, it was LeSean McCoy catching 6 balls for 44 yards. LeSean McCoy was...
Austin Eckler tore them up earlier in the season too. Yeah, that's where they're vulnerable, is through the air to running backs.
And think about that. Okay, you have Antonio Brown playing at less than 100%. You have Martavis Bryant matched up with AJ Boye. You have Juju Smith-Schuster. That's fine. But what I'm saying is Le'Veon Bell is going to see tons and tons of targets in this game. He's going to see tons of touches. When you have such a small slate, you have to look at it and say, where am I getting guaranteed points? Like, who is the legitimate best play on the board? Le'Veon Bell is the best play on the board. He may not be the tournament winner just because you're looking for those guys that are, you know, 5% owned to win you a tournament. But I'm telling you, Le'Veon Bell, he's a lock. It's just, I can't not play him. There's been, he has touched the ball at least 19 times in each of his last 14 games, including 9 games with 25 or more touches. Blake Bortles and the Jags offense is not going to put this game out of reach. There is no way that Le'Veon Bell is scripted out of this game, no matter if they're down, no matter if they're up. There is a lot going in his favor. I can't not play Le'Veon Bell.
I'm taking the under in 20 points. I don't think it's a lock, man.
So 20 PPR points for Le'Veon Bell that you want to take the under?
I was talking about FanDuel. For PPR, I'll give you 22.5. I'll take the under at 22.5.
That's fair. I mean, I think 22.5 is a fair number. I still think he outscores it. So I'd take the over there. I think it's a fair number to put on it. But that's what I'm saying. When you're projecting or putting the over under at 22.5 points, that's a player you want in your lineup.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense. My player is in the Sunday afternoon game. We'll get to my running back in a second, but let's finish this game here. Are you using anybody from Jacksonville?
Fournette's a good play.
I mean, their offense is just pathetic.
You have to play Fournette.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, Fournette is a very good play. He's my number three running back here. I would take him over Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about his career game that he had 181 yards, 2 touchdowns against them in the first meeting. And I'm not expecting that to happen again, but the Steelers defense, since they've lost Ryan Shazier in week 13, their defense has allowed 546 rushing yards on 110 carries. That's 5 yards per carry. They've allowed 6 rushing touchdowns in those 5 games. It comes down to, again, personnel. They don't have the personnel handled to equip, like to stop that. Now, is it possible that they do what the Bills did? The Bills legitimately sold out to stop the run. They said, we're going to throw 8-9 men in the box and say, Blake Bortles beat us. And Blake Bortles really couldn't do that. Their defense won them that game. But the thing is when you give a player like Leonard Fournette, you know, someone as talented as he is, when you give him 20 touches in a game, there's going to be some big plays. And knowing that the Steelers have struggled to stop the run ever since Shazier went down, and the fact that Fournette trampled them earlier in the season, even when they knew Fournette was going to be getting the ball, because that's back when he was getting, 30 touches per game. It's hard not to like Fournette, especially at his discounted price and lower ownership that he's going to have, because there's a lot of people who are going to fade Leonard Fournette because of what happened last week.
Trample is the right word for what Fournette did to the Steelers earlier this year. I don't know if you remember the game very well, but Mike Mitchell, who's a big trash talker. I mean, he already guaranteed a win against the Patriots, by the way, Mike Mitchell, okay? He was talking trash to Leonard Fournette.
He waved him on.
Leonard Fournette, he went into the huddle and he said, give me the ball. And he waved him on and he ran him over. It was beautiful. And after that, Leonard Fournette went nuts, man. Yeah. So Leonard Fournette, he hates the Steelers. I mean, you can see it when he ran in that game. He wanted to whoop them, and I guarantee you he remembers that.
I legitimately cannot wait until Leonard Fournette has like a semi-decent offensive line, because the Jags offensive line looks like crap. But once they actually do start, like in this draft, if they go and draft an offensive lineman or two in the top 3 rounds, I'm already putting Fournette in the first round of my fantasy drafts. Like, that's happening already. I think he's one of the most consistent players in football. They're going to upgrade the quarterback position. Leonard Fournette. I know that this is DFS show, obviously, but Leonard Fournette, great play.
I'm not too worried about the offensive line. I'm too worried about the 55% stacked boxes, because Blake Bortles is just a pure turd, except when he runs. Blake Bortles over under 200 rushing yards this week.
He had, 88 rushing yards last week? It's kind of how I felt.
That's when he plays his best football. When he is running the football, he's playing football. You know what I mean? When he's sitting back there in the pocket, being a robot, trying not to turn the ball over, he's not confident Blake Bortles. When you get a confident Blake Bortles running the football, he's significantly better football player. So I hope they let him loose, let him play his game, because I like that Blake Bortles a lot better. Who are you taking in this game, by the way?
I have the Steelers. I'm not happy about it because I'm rooting for the Jags. I actually want to see the Jags in the Super Bowl. I'd love to see the Jags win this week, and I'd love to see them beat the Patriots next week. But I am taking the Steelers in this game.
Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers as well. I know you like the Jags to go to the Super Bowl earlier in this postseason when we were talking about it, but just with the way Blake Bortles played last week, I don't think it's happening, man.
He needs to play at least competent, yeah. That's the issue, is like, this defense can take them so far, but only so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're paralyzing him. The only route that they let a wide receiver run, I mean, it was planned plays. You have one look, okay? It's the guy cutting across the field. That's the only pass you can throw. He didn't throw any deep balls. He didn't throw the ball to the sideline at all. He was throwing it over the middle every single time. And once you realize they're doing that 6-7 times in a row, how easy is that to stop? Let the man play some football. He's a professional football player. You drafted him 3rd overall.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to get into the Jags offense. It's depressing, but yeah, I don't think there's
any. Yeah, it's really probably boring. let's move on to the wide receivers in this game. There's not a single one I'm using. Not Juju Smith-Schuster, not Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, nobody from the Jags. I'll use several of them. I'm going to get exposure to all of them in GPP. The one I like the most is Dede Westbrook. The one I like the least is Marquise Lee. He's not healthy. He's not the same. So with that said, it's just ugly. It's not going to be a very pretty game in the passing department.
Yeah, the only player that I'm actually considering in this game in cash at the wide receiver position is Juju. Knowing the matchups for the perimeter wide receivers, that's really bad. Smith-Schuster has developed some chemistry with Ben Roethlisberger over the last couple of weeks. You know, we've kind of seen that. It's been a crazy season for him. His 11.6 yards per target was more than any other wide receiver who had at least 25 targets. Aaron Colvin is the slot cornerback for the Jags. He's played better, I think, than most people thought he would, but he's still obviously the weakest link of the trio. He's allowed a 73% catch rate in coverage. So Juju, his price has gotten up there to the point where it's really difficult to play him in cash against the Jags. But if there's one I would consider, I think he'd be the one I'd consider.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Juju. Colvin is not a surefire Pro Bowler, so he's definitely right. The weak link on this defense. Tight end, there's nothing doing here. You can't play anyone from Pittsburgh or Jacksonville, right?
Only in a tournament. Jesse James or Vance McDonald.
They're fine.
Yeah, like that's. I wouldn't play Mercedes Lewis no matter what. Like in any type of contest, but in tournaments, Jesse James or McDonald, if Roethlisberger returns to his home form, and let's say that, you know, that week five game that they had against Jacksonville was an outlier and what's been an incredible home stretch for him. If he throws two touchdowns and, you know, and knowing the cornerbacks that they have in Jacksonville, it's very possible that Jesse James or Vance McDonald catch one. So in tournaments, again, if you're throwing together a lot of those, you know, those lineups, I would have some exposure to them.
So which defense are you taking here? I'm assuming you're using either the Steelers or the Jags in cash games.
I'm actually using the Eagles in cash. That's who I'm staying with. But if I was picking one to like to stick to a defense in this game, I mean, I guess I'd be playing the Steelers. I don't really like either. I mean, it's going to be a lower scoring game, but I also think it's going to be a run heavy game, which means that there's not going to be as many turnovers as we would hope. So paying up for the Steelers doesn't make too much sense for me, as the same thing with the Jags. The Jags defense is going to be fine, but I need to save money is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think Big Ben's going to play a lot safer. I don't think the turnovers are going to be there. I mean, you remember last game we talked about it. They made some phenomenal plays. Otherwise, Big Ben would have had like, I don't know, he threw two pure interceptions. They were thrown from behind, sitting back in nickel dime coverage. So I don't think it's the same game as last time. Plus, the Jags haven't been getting after the quarterback as much. I don't know why. I don't think they're going to get a bunch of sacks. I mean, they only had two against Pittsburgh in the first game, too. So you're really banking on a touchdown here if you want to use the Jags at that price. So I do like the Steelers as my number two defense this week.
Nice.
All right, man. Final game, New Orleans at Minnesota. And I'm using three guys from Minnesota this week. It's not that I think that the Saints defense is bad. Obviously, I love the Saints. I think that they're a bona fide Super Bowl contender. It's probably 50-50 in this game. I haven't even really decided who I'm picking to win here, but the prices on some of these guys. We'll start with Latavius Murray, 6,800. He is getting so many touches, and he's looked pretty good doing it. So I'm using Latavius Murray in cash games. He's my favorite running back on the week.
I'm not going to try and talk you out of that one. I have no issue with Latavius, but being that I play on DraftKings, he's not going to be in my lineup just because he doesn't really catch passes.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, but with all the touches he gets, I think that he needs to score in order to hit value, even on FanDuel. And that's something that I don't know if you want to bet on in a cash game. Like, I would prefer a guy who can get a bunch of yardage too. And that's not to say that he can't, but like I said, I'm not going to talk you out of him. I just don't have a great feel about this game, honestly. Like, I've gone through it. I've looked through it. And how I feel about it, like, predicting who's going to win this game, I have Minnesota winning, but the Saints have been playing fantastic. The Vikings offense has really slowed down as the year's gone on. Like, you've seen them ask less and less out of Case Keenum, and you've seen it affect his numbers, Adam Thielen's numbers. Latavius Murray, is he an elite running back? I don't think he is. Jerick McKinnon, his usage has been spotty at best. So I don't really have a great feel about this game. I do think Minnesota wins, but it wouldn't shock me at all if the Saints do. And if the Saints win, I think Jerick McKinnon's the play.
Do you know how many times Case Keenum's had over 290 yards this season?
What, like two?
Just twice, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just two times all season. Like, yeah, he racked up touchdowns because he's got some really nice wide receivers and everything, but I don't think he was really that great. He's great for what the team needs. In terms of pure fantasy, people are talking about him as maybe a QB1 next year. There's no chance, man. There is no chance at all.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to be next year. There's a chance that Pat Shurmur takes a head coaching job somewhere and Case Keenum follows him, because Case Keenum's considered, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. We don't know if he'll be back with the Vikings or not. I think he'd be smart on his part to stay there. But, I mean, they have such a good team surrounding him. The talent there is awesome. They rebuilt the offensive line. Dalvin Cook's going to be coming back next year. The wide receivers are set in Diggs and Thielen. There's a lot of talent on that team. They're oozing. Even Laquon Treadwell, you know, the former number one pick, like, you know, he should develop into something, but whatever. But, yeah, the Saints have had some lapses in coverage over the, you know, the final stretch of the season. Kirk Cousins threw for 300 yards, three touchdowns. Jared Goff over 350 yards, two touchdowns. Cam Newton lit him up twice. I mean, Cam Newton played a hell of a game last week. I want to make sure I make that a point, because I rag on Cam Newton as a passer a lot, but he played a phenomenal game in Wild Card Weekend. He really did. I think the better team just won that game. I think the Panthers played that game exactly how they should have. They just lost to a better team. And that's what it comes down to. The Vikings and the Saints are an excellent matchup, because the Vikings defense are going to have to choose, as the Panthers did. Are we going to let Drew Brees beat us? Or are we going to stop the run game? Or are we going to let the run game beat us? You know, it's like, it's picking your poison. This is one of the games I really do look forward to, because they're so evenly matched teams.
This is the best game of the weekend. Like, I'm more excited for the Jags game, obviously, because I'm a Jags fan. But I think Pittsburgh is a pretty heavy favorite there. At least they should be. This one is just an absolute toss-up. So it's going to be a fun game to watch. Really looking forward to this one, especially because I've got all the guys on the Minnesota Vikings. I'm using Stephon Diggs. He's 7,300. If you look at him compared to Thielen, he was better this year. He was playing injured, but when he played, he scored more fantasy points per game than Thielen. Thielen's the more expensive one. Thielen is going to be the one that Marshawn Lattimore keys on more. And then I'm also using Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph, he talked about it. He's been playing hurt for the past 3 weeks, and he was really bad in those 3 weeks as a result, but he's rested. He was actually in a walking boot the last week. You look at what he did before he was injured, 12 fantasy points, 12 fantasy points, 20 fantasy points. I mean, he was cruising, and so I'm taking him at $5,900 instead of Gronk.
So I'm on a different page than you on this game. So let's go back to the wide receivers. Adam Thielen, I don't think he's going to see Marshawn Lattimore at all. I think Lattimore shadows. Okay. I think Lattimore shadows Stephon Diggs, because Diggs plays the majority, like 70% of his snaps in the perimeter. Lattimore does not go into the slot, which is where Adam Thielen plays the majority of his snaps. Which is why you saw Thielen in the first game of the year against them. He totaled 9 catches for 157 yards. Now, Diggs had two touchdowns.
See, now that's why I think that they're going to put Lattimore on him, is because he destroyed them earlier.
But he doesn't go into the slot at all. Like, he literally has played 5 snaps all year in the slot. Like, he doesn't go there.
Okay.
So there's certain cornerbacks that do travel. Like, Patrick Peterson stays in the perimeter. They don't put him in the slot. And with Diggs, I think Diggs is a more talented wide receiver than Adam Thielen. There might be some people listening right now thinking, "No, Mike, Thielen had a better year statistical wise, yada yada yada." I think Stephon Diggs is a phenomenal talent. I actually believe that Stephon Diggs is going to be better than most people think he is. Like, I think some people think that this was Stephon Diggs' ceiling this year. I don't think that is. I think Diggs is like a complete receiver.
He could be a wide receiver one.
Agree. I 100% agree with that. I think that he's a top 12 wide receiver in the league on a talent standpoint. But Thielen, his matchup in the slot, the Saints they started the season with Sterling Moore. He got hurt. He wasn't playing well anyway. They cut him. They moved on to the converted safety, Kenny Vaccaro. He got hurt, forced them to bring Sterling Moore back, who was bad again. And then they plugged in PJ Williams into the slot. Over the last 2 weeks, Williams has been targeted 15 times in coverage. He's allowed 10 receptions for 114 yards. It's like the weak point, because Ken Crawley and Marshawn Lattimore have been playing lights out on the perimeter. So Thielen is actually one of my favorite plays in cash, but the issue is that trying to find the cash to use him. I just don't think I'm going to have the cash to use him, but he is one of my favorite plays in the slate. Whereas Diggs, I would not touch him in cash, similar to Michael Thomas.
Okay.
But I do think that Diggs and Thomas are so talented that you should have exposure in tournaments, because, you know, Michael Thomas has overcome a lot this year. You know, he's like the only receiver on that team, but he's been extremely consistent. And Stephon Diggs, as I mentioned, I do believe he's that talented. So do I think he could beat Lattimore a few times? Absolutely. Like, Devin Funchess should have had a touchdown in that game. Devin Funchess should have had a solid game against them last week, but he didn't because he's not that talented. Stephon Diggs is. So yeah, the only one I would consider in cash in this game is Adam Thielen.
What about with the Saints? We haven't talked about their offense at all, and usually you don't talk about the offense going up against the Vikings, but Drew Brees, is he viable even in GPP?
I think you should have some exposure in tournaments to Brees just because, like, you know, we saw the Panthers do it last week. They said, you know, we're going to sell out to stop the run, and they paid for it because Brees is still very good at football. With that being said, the Vikings secondary is so much better than the Panthers. The Panthers showed signs of weaknesses in their secondary down the stretch, whereas the Vikings, they seemingly got better down the stretch. The Vikings defense is legit. They're not a team that you want to attack. So I'll have some Brees exposure, but I won't have as much as the field does.
Okay. Now, what about those running backs, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram? Would you use either of them in cash games? Like, are you even considering it? And what about GPP? Which one do you prefer?
Alvin Kamara is probably the better play on DraftKings just because of how often he's using the passing game. He's been playing more snaps than Mark Ingram as of late, but I do think that Ingram's probably the better tournament play. And the reason I say that is because his ownership is going to be down. He's had a couple bad weeks. He hasn't done anything, but he is their goal line back. Like, I know Alvin Kamara got a carry inside the five last week that he converted, but that hasn't really been the case all season long. I think that was just more of like a change just because the Panthers had seen him. That was the third time they were playing each other, so why not change things up? I think Mark Ingram, there is a realistic possibility that he has two touchdowns in a game. And if you're going to score two touchdowns on a slate with four games, you're absolutely tournament viable. So his price has come down. I want to say his price is as low as it's been since week six of the season on DraftKings. So Mark Ingram, I think he's the better tournament play just because he's going to be lesser owned.
I agree. I definitely agree here. I think Kamara's ownership is going to be around 15%. Ingram's probably going to be sitting there around 6 to 8%. And I think Ingram is just straight up a better play, too. So regardless of ownership. So, Tags, we touched on Kyle Rudolph a little bit. What about what the Saints are throwing out there? Like Josh Hill, would you even get any exposure to him in GPP?
I said last week in the primer, I said, I actually went back and quoted it. I said he's yet to see more than three targets in any one game. He hadn't reached 30 yards all season. He's scored one touchdowns. There's like no reason to believe that things would change. But of course they did. And he goes and catches three passes for 49 yards and a touchdown. Going back to the first time these two teams played, Kobe Fleener was targeted six times. He caught five of them for 54 yards and a touchdown. It was like one of his best games of the year. And Josh Hill was supposed to be, if you recall, he was supposed to be like a breakout candidate before they got Kobe Fleener. I bet you that they can go back in time. They would never have signed Kobe Fleener to that big contract, but they did. I don't think Josh Hill, so he's still, the max targets he's seen this year is four targets, which was last week. That's still not nowhere near enough to get him into cash lineups, but I do think if you're building a few tournament lineups, I'd include Hill in a few of them just because of the tough matchups around the field. As for Kyle Rudolph, it hasn't even been just the last couple weeks. If you go back since week 12, Rudolph has averaged just 3.3 targets per game. He's had nine games with fewer than 40 yards. He's really touchdown dependent, and that's fine in tournaments. If you're looking for a touchdown, that's fine. But in cash, I avoid Kyle Rudolph.
Okay. All right, we'll close out with defense here. I'm not really interested in using either of them. I've got them ranked number 5 and 6 this week. Their prices aren't especially exciting. I mean, the Saints are pretty cheap, but the Vikings don't really turn the ball over all that much. So I guess if I was picking one, I would use the Saints. Would you use either of them?
I would probably use the Vikings if either of them. I mean, just because they're at home. And from what I've heard from players talk about it, Minnesota is like one of the toughest places to play. You know, similar to when you talk about Seattle, when you talk about Kansas City, playing inside that dome in Minnesota, they say it's really loud and it's tough to play there. Drew Brees just lost one of his starting offensive linemen for the year. That's definitely a negative for him. Brees, you know, again, it's not a game where I'm targeting either defense, but if I was going to play one, They're close to the same price on DraftKings, so I'll take the home team here, the Vikings.
All right, Tags. Well, that's all for today's show, man. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be doing another show next week talking about DFS for the conference championship game, so make sure to tune in for that one. Subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. And thanks to the sponsor of today's show, DraftKings.com. Use the promo code FANTASYPROS to get a free deposit when you sign up at DraftKings.com. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of love, your love. But I don't even know how the chemistry
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.